voters in four states head to the polls today to cast their votes in congressional primary races.
Very different races.
They actually are very different races. Yeah. We're talking about, though, about this anti-incumbent theme that seems to be nationwide. I mean, they do
it's
say all politics are local.
In different states and different localities.
In different ways, too. It's also being expressed in different ways. And we're wondering what that means in all the places. We've talked about primary races in Arkansas and in Pennsylvania, and now we want to look at Kentucky. Recent polls show that Ron Paul's son, Rand Paul, who is a Tea Party favorite, is leading in the polls over longtime Republican Trey Grayson in the GOP primary. Joining us again, Gabe Bullard. He's a reporter for WFPL in Louisville. So Gabe, people are saying this is finally a race in which the Tea Party is having an impact. Do you think this is really Rand Paul's popularity is really about the Tea Party, or is it more about Rand Paul?
I think it's a lot of it is the Tea Party. I've covered a few Tea Party events here in Kentucky, and certainly Rand Paul is the most popular politician among them, the most popular person running for office. He's been the headliner at a few events, and he has a lot of that momentum. A lot of the same people who are out, protesting with signs and everything on tax day are the same people who are holding Rand Paul signs at rallies.
And he's been endorsed by Sarah Palin, whereas his opponent has been endorsed by people like Minority Leader Mitch McConnell and Dick Cheney. Maybe that's kind of, although neither of these guys are incumbents, maybe Grayson's endorsements from the sort of established party elite has been playing into his being portrayed as a sort of pseudo-incumbent.
Kiss of death.
Right. What do you think, Gabe?
That's definitely the case, because before Senator Bunning announced that he was not going to run for re-election, the thought was that Grayson was just the heir apparent, that he was going to be the Republican Party's favorite pick, he was going to get the nomination and sail on to the general election. But Rand Paul got into the race, wasn't exactly taken seriously, raised a lot of money online, had a large grassroots effort, and has now taken the lead in the polls.
And by how much?
He is leading right now by 16 points. He has 49% of the vote to 33% for Grayson in the last poll that I saw.
And is it pretty much assumed that whomever the Republican nominee is will eventually win the race in November?
Not necessarily, though, with the national sentiment and the anti-incumbency sentiment and the anti-democratic feelings that seem to be bubbling up in Kentucky. That may be the case, but 2 years ago, Mitch McConnell won a re-election bid with 53% to 47% from a Democratic challenger.
Okay, Gabe Bullard is a reporter for WFPL in Louisville. Let's turn now to Todd Zwillick, our Takeaway Washington correspondent. Todd, you there?
Hi, good morning, Celeste.
Okay, so I wanted to again play this comment from Senator Lindsey Graham. Take a listen to this.
If it gets to be that you, in a primary, you have to be ideologically pure to survive your primary, that means the give and take of problem solving ceases to exist, and that means the country's problems never get solved.
Okay, so let's assume hypothetically that Rand Paul wins this primary. He is a lifelong Republican, but he is a favor of Tea Parties, and it sounds like Graham's worried that some far-right candidates will win primaries and be too right to win in the general election.
I think Graham is worried about that exact thing. This is coming from the guy who now holds the mantle of the aisle reacher, you know, on climate, on immigration, before he got mad and backed away from it.
During election time, he acts as ideologically pure as anybody.
And John, to an extent, that's true. They all do. But he voted for Sotomayor, for instance.
Right.
So he's sort of casting out this warning that there is a concern, and it's not just the Kentucky race where the Tea Party backed Republican candidates. Keep in mind, there is no Tea Party in the sense of being on the ballot. These are Tea Party-backed Republicans. So that Graham is worried that once candidates like this, if Rand Paul should win, if there's so many of them in the Republican Party, that the path they can walk is so narrow that there can't be any of the discussions that really do go on in the Senate and the House to try to get things done. And he's not just worried about Republicans. Look at Arkansas. We've talked about the Arkansas race, where there are a lot of signs where Blanche Lincoln is undergoing a purity test, but from the left. And Blanche Lincoln is an incumbent that somebody like Lindsey Graham can and has, you know, worked with across the aisle. He's thinking, if Blanche Lincoln goes because of a purity test from the left, how's he ever going to work with somebody like that? And he thinks it's a major concern for our political institutions actually getting things done.
But as John alluded to earlier, it's accepted political wisdom that it's generally the far right and far left that choose primary candidates, and then it's the middle that decides in the general election.
Well, and I'll add one thing to it. The primaries are different from midterm elections, are different from general elections in 2012.
Right.
There really seems to be a funneling there towards the middle. And I think that Republicans have a political concern beyond Graham's sort of practical concern of how we get things done. The political concern being, if we ride this tiger of national anger at Democrats, national anger at Republicans, and we really work hard to capture the Tea Party anger, what does it mean in 2012 when the economy improves? When people aren't angry anymore because assuming, let's hope, unemployment is lower than it is now. Well, right, if. But, you know, the economies tend to go in sine waves, John, you know, and people assume things will be somewhat better in 2012 and anger will be somewhat lower. If we ride this tiger now, and we walk a narrow ideological line, can we be viable in 2012? If we're perceived as anti-immigrant now, can we win the big middle in 2012? And that's a political concern that a lot of people like Graham also have.
Well, it's impossible to look at these races like the one in Kentucky or Pennsylvania and have it tell us who is kind of come out ahead in November in terms
that's
of
true.
Democrat versus Republican. But we can kind of see how things are shaping up. I mean, people are saying that these primaries are showing that the Reagan Democrats heading back to the Republican Party. We can kind of see the shifting of lines during the primaries, right?
You can see some of those shifting of lines, but some of the smartest political analysts that I've been reading and some of the ones I've been talking to the last 2 days issue a big warning. It's, you know, this sort of mini Super Tuesday is very exciting, and we and members of Congress and politicians are very hot to read the tea leaves here after today, not to extend the Tea Party metaphor too far. But the one race that political watchers really are watching is the Pennsylvania 12th, the actual election for Jack Murtha's seat, Tim Burns versus Mark Critz, Republican versus Democrat. That's the one that the real political watchers see as the real bellwether. Mm. Because it's an old Reagan Democrat district,
yeah.
And that's the one where you see if the Reagan Democrats are really coming back, the lunch bucket Democrats, as we said on this program.
Come
that's the race, not the primaries necessarily.
Okay, Todd Zwillick, Takeaway Washington correspondent, taking a look at some of the primaries going on today.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.